Penguin Random House Audio presents A Caress of Twilight, a novel by Laurel K. Hamilton, read for you by Stella Hunter. This one's for Jay, who brought me endless cups of chai and, for the first time, watched the process from beginning to end. He loves me still, and for all of you married to us artistic types, you know just how much that says about both of us. Chapter 1. Moonlight silvered the room, painting the bed in 100 shades of gray, white, and black. The two men in the bed were deeply asleep. So deeply that when I'd crawled out from between them, they'd barely stirred. My skin glowed white with the kiss of moonlight. The pure blood red of my hair looked black. I'd pulled on a silk robe because it was chilly. People can talk about sunny California, but in the wee hours of the night, when dawn is but a distant dream, it's still chilly. The night that fell like a soft blessing through my window was a December night. If I'd been home in Illinois, there would have been the smell of snow, crisp enough almost to melt along the tongue, cold enough to sear the lungs. So cold it was like breathing icy fire. That was the way air was supposed to taste in early December. The breeze crawling through the window at my back held the dry tang of eucalyptus and the distant smell of the sea. Salt, water, and something else. That indefinable scent that says ocean, not lake. Nothing usable, nothing drinkable. You can die of thirst on the shores of an ocean. For 3 years, I'd stood on the shores of this particular ocean and died a little bit every day. Not literally. I'd have survived. But mere survival can get pretty lonely. I'd been born Princess Meredith Nicessus, a member of the High Court of Faerie. I was a real-life fairy princess, the only one ever born on American soil. When I vanished from sight about 3 years ago, the media had gone crazy. Sightings of the missing elven American princess had rivaled Elvis sightings. I'd been spotted all around the world. In reality, I'd been in Los Angeles the entire time. I'd hidden myself, been just plain Meredith Gentry, Mary to my friends. Just another human with fey ancestry working for the Gray Detective Agency, where we specialized in supernatural problems, magical solutions. Legend says that a fey exiled from fairy will wither and fade, die. That's both true and untrue. I have enough human blood in my background that being surrounded by metal and technology doesn't bother me. Some of the lesser fey would literally wither and die in a man-made city. But most fey can manage in a city. They may not be happy, but they can survive. But part of them does wither. That part that knows that not all the butterflies you see are actually butterflies. That part that has seen the night sky filled with a rushing of wings like a hurricane wind. Wings of flesh and scale to make humans whisper of dragons and demons. That part that has seen the she ride by on horses made of starlight and dreams. That part begins to die. I hadn't been exiled. I'd fled, because I couldn't survive the assassination attempts. I just didn't have the magic or the political clout to protect myself. I'd saved my life, but lost something else. I'd lost the touch of fairy. I'd lost my home. Now, leaning on my windowsill with the smell of the Pacific Ocean on the air, I looked down at the two men and knew I was home. They were both High Court she, unseelie she, part of that darkling throng that I might someday rule if I could stay ahead of the assassins. Rhys lay on his stomach, one hand hanging off the bed, the other lost under his pillow. Even in repose, that one visible arm was muscled. His hair was a shining fall of white curls caressing his bare shoulders, trailing down the strong line of his back. The right side of his face was pressed to the pillow, and so I couldn't see the scars where his eye had been taken. His cupid bow mouth was turned upward, half smiling in his sleep. He was boyishly handsome, and would be forever. Nicka lay curled on his side, Awake, his face was handsome, bordering on pretty. Asleep, he had the face of an angelic child. Innocent, he looked. Fragile. Even his body was softer, less muscled. His hands were still rough from sword practice, and there was muscle under the velvet smoothness of his skin. But he was soft compared to the other guards, more courtier than mercenary. The face did and did not match the body. He was just over 6 feet, most of it long, long legs. His slender waist and long, graceful arms balanced all that length. Most of Nika was shades of brown. His skin was the color of pale milk chocolate, and the hair that fell in a straight fall to his knees was a rich, dark, true brown. Not brunette, but the color of fresh-turned leaves that had lain a long, long time on the forest floor, until when stirred they were a rich, moist brown, something you could plunge your hands into and come away wet and smelling of new life. In the moonlit dark, I couldn't see his back, or even the tops of his shoulders clearly. Most of him was lost under the sheet. It was his back that held the biggest surprise. His father had been something with butterfly wings, something not she, but still Fae. Genetics had traced his back with wings like a giant tattoo, except more vibrant, more alive than any ink or paint could make it. From his upper shoulders down his back, across his buttocks, flowing over his thighs to touch the backs of his knees was a play of color. Buff brown, yellow tans, circles of blue and pink and black like eye spots on the wings of a moth. He rested in the dark, drained of color, so that he and Rhys were like two shadows wrapped in the bed, one pale, one dark. Though there were darker things to be had than Nika, much darker. The bedroom door opened soundlessly, and as if I'd conjured him by my thoughts, Dole eased into the room. He shut the door behind him, as soundlessly as he'd opened it. I never understood how he did that. If I'd opened the door, it would have made noise. But when Dole wanted to, he moved like the fall of night itself. Soundless, weightless, undetectable, until you realized the light was gone, and you were alone in the dark with something you couldn't see. His nickname was the Queen's Darkness, or simply, Darkness. The Queen would say, "Where is my darkness? Bring me my darkness." And this meant that soon someone would bleed or die. But now, strangely, he was my darkness. Nika was brown, but Dole was black. Not the black of human skin, but the complete blackness of a midnight sky. He didn't vanish in the darkened room, because he was darker than the moonlit shadows. A dark shape gliding toward me. His black jeans and black t-shirt fit his body like a second skin. I'd never seen him wear anything that wasn't monochromatic except jewelry and blades. Even his shoulder holster and gun were black. I pushed away from the window to stand as he moved toward me. He had to stop gliding at the foot of the king-size bed, because there was barely room to squeeze between the bed and the closet doors. It was impressive simply to watch Dole slide along the wall without brushing the bed. He was over a foot taller than I was and probably outweighed me by 100 pounds, most of it muscle. I'd have bumped into the bed a half dozen times at least. He eased through the narrow space as if anybody should have been able to do it. The bed took up most of the bedroom, so when Dole finally reached me, we were forced to stand nearly touching. He managed to keep a fraction of distance so that not even our clothing brushed. It was an artificial distance. It would have been more natural to touch, and the very fact that he worked so hard not to touch me made it the more awkward. It bothered me. But I'd stopped arguing with Dole about his distance. When questioned, he only said,
"I want to be special to you, not just one of the mob."
At first, it had seemed noble. Now it was just irritating. The light was stronger here by the window, and I could see some of that delicate curve of his high cheekbones, the too sharp chin, the curved points to his ears, and the silver gleam of earrings that traced the cartilage all the way to the small hoops in the very pointed tops. Only the pointed ears betrayed that he was a mixed blood like myself, like Nika. He could have hidden the ears with all that hair, but he almost never did. His raven blue.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?